The Destiny of Colored Americans by Frederick Douglass, 1849, as read by Alex Wilson. It is impossible to settle by the light of the present and by the experience of the past anything definitely and absolutely as to the future condition of the colored people of this country. But so far as present indications determine, it is clear that this land must continue to be the home of the colored man so long as it remains the abode of civilization and religion. For more than 200 years we have been identified with its soil, its products, and its institutions under the sternest and bitterest circumstances of slavery and oppression, under the lash of slavery at the South, under the sting of prejudice and malice at the North, and under hardships the most unfavorable to existence and population we have lived and continue to live and increase. The persecuted red man of the forest, the original owner of the soil, has, step by step, retreated from the Atlantic lakes and rivers, escaping, as it were, before the footsteps of the white man, and gradually disappearing from the face of the country. He looks upon the steamboats and railroads and canals cutting and crossing his former hunting grounds, and upon the plowshare throwing up the bones of his venerable ancestors, and beholds his glory departing, and his heart sickens at the desolation. He spurns the civilization, he hates the race which has despoiled him, and unable to measure arms with his superior foe, he dies. Not so with the black man, more unlike the European in form, feature, and color, called to endure greater hardships, injuries, and insults than those to which the Indians have been subjected. He yet lives and prospers under every disadvantage. Long have his enemies sought to expatriate him, and to teach his children that this is not their home, but in spite of all their cunning schemes and subtle contrivances, his footprints yet mark the soil of his birth, and he gives every indication that America will forever remain the home of his posterity. We deem it a settled point that the destiny of the colored man is bound up with that of the white people of this country, be the destiny of the latter what it may. It is idle, worse than idle, ever to think of our expatriation or removal. The history of the colonization society must extinguish all such speculations. We are rapidly filling up the number of 4 millions, and all the gold of California combined would be insufficient to defray the expenses attending our colonization. We are, as laborers, too essential to the interests of our white fellow countrymen to make a very grand effort to drive us from this country among probable events. While labor is needed, the laborer cannot fail to be valued, and although passion and prejudice may sometimes vociferate against us and demand our expulsion, such efforts will only be spasmodic and can never prevail against the sober second thought of self-interest. We are here, and here we are likely to be. To imagine that we shall ever be eradicated is absurd and ridiculous. We can be remodified, changed, and assimilated, but never extinguished. We repeat, therefore, that we are here, and that this is our country. And the question for the philosophers and statesmen of the land ought to be, what principles should dictate the policy of the action towards us? We shall neither die out nor be driven out, but shall go with this people, either as a testimony against them or as an evidence in their favor throughout their generations. We are clearly on their hands and must remain there forever. All this we say for the benefit of those who hate the Negro more than they love their country. in an article under the caption of Government and Its Subjects, published in our last week's paper, we called attention to the unwise as well as the unjust policy usually adopted by our government towards its colored citizens. We would continue to direct attention to that policy, and in our humble way we would remonstrate against it, as fraught with evil to the white man, as well as to his victim. The white man's happiness cannot be purchased by the black man's misery. Virtue cannot prevail among the white people by its destruction among the black people, who form a part of the whole community. It is evident that white and black must fall or flourish together. In the light of this great truth, laws ought to be enacted and institutions established. All distinctions founded on complexion ought to be repealed, repudiated, and forever abolished, and every right, privilege, and immunity now enjoyed by the white man ought to be as freely granted to the man of color. Where knowledge is power, that nation is the most powerful which has the largest population of intelligent men. For a nation to cramp and circumscribe the mental faculties of a class of its inhabitants is as unwise as it is cruel, since it in the same proportion sacrifices its power and happiness. The American people, in the light of this reasoning, are at this moment, in obedience to their pride and folly, we say nothing of the wickedness of the act, wasting 1/6 part of its energies of the entire nation by transforming 3 million of its men into beasts of burden. What a loss to industry, skill, invention, to say nothing of its foul and corrupting influence, is slavery. How it ties the hand, cramps the mind, darkens the understanding, and paralyzes the whole man. Nothing is more evident to a man who reasons at all than that America is acting an irrational part in continuing the slave system at the South and in oppressing its free colored citizens at the North. Regarding the nation as an individual, the act of enslaving and oppressing thus is as wild and senseless as it would be for Nicholas to order the amputation of the right arm of every Russian soldier before engaging in a war with France. We again repeat that slavery is the peculiar weakness of America, as well as its peculiar crime. And the day may yet come when this visionary and oft-repeated declaration will be found to contain a great truth. F.D. This recording was produced by Telltale Weekly.